we're going to go back a couple years, Coach Easley, and we're going to go into the bracket of the best dressed assistant coaches. And years and years ago, I can't remember what year this was and if it was multiple years, but
I can tell you the exact year, 2010.
Okay, so 2010, Coach Kevin Easley made the bracket of the best dressed assistant coaches in the NCAA.
NCAA.
I don't know if you got an at-large bid or your automatic qualifier.
At-large.
You're at-large? Okay.
How far
did you make it in that bracket? And, you know, what goes into, you know, getting into the best dressed assistant coaches bracket?
You know, it's great. I made it to, you know, I love to talk about this, and that's funny that you bring it up. that's a good one. I got to give you one.
Yo.
But I made it to the Fashionable Four, as they call it.
Oh, the Fashionable Four. Okay.
Fashionable Four.
Welcome to Life on the Road, a coach's journey with your hosts.
I'm Alfonso Key.
And I'm Scott Bolwich.
This is a podcast by coaches for coaches.
So sit back and enjoy another outstanding episode of Life on the Road. Welcome to a special edition of Life on the Road. I'm Scott Bolwich along with Alfonso Key. And today our guest is, man, he was so good the first time, we got to bring him back. The head coach at Life University, Coach Kevin Easley. Welcome back to Life on the Road.
Man, I appreciate it. I had to come back with the Life on the Road swag. I appreciate that from you guys. And I'm just happy to be here. And you guys got an unbelievable platform that's continuing to grow. And just excited to be a guest again on you guys' show.
So grateful, and, brother.
Yep. And the reason why it's a special edition is because we're going to take a slight little turn from our traditional conversation. And we're going to, the reason why we brought Coach Easley back is we want to get into the perspective of what goes into the March Madness of your team wins a conference tournament. Now you go through Selection Sunday and the preparation that goes into that. So with Coach Easley, if you guys watched the podcast when he was on, he was the director of basketball operations at UNC Wilmington. So I think if you can see behind, he is first and second round of the NCAA tournament with UNC Wilmington. And Coach Easley, let's get right into it. What was going through your mind as a Dobo, because you're the one who has to handle everything? So we're sitting there Selection Sunday, you're waiting to find out who you play. And once you find out who you play, what's going through your mind right there?
Well, I want to even rewind it a step as to when,
okay,
you know, being a mid-major, you know, you play in a tournament and you have to win your tournament to get in. So
right,
we don't know that we're getting in until like the last 15 seconds of the game. And I think even at that time we were unsure.
Okay.
You know, clock hit zero, we were excited, you know, had a chance to cut down the nets. You know, that was my first and only NCAA tournament appearance. So that was really special. At that particular point, we don't care who we play. We're just excited about, you know, the journey. So as soon as that happens, obviously you speculate, you watch a lot of the, you know, the other games, and you figure what seed line that you're going to be on. You know, us, I think we were 13 or 14 that year, won 25 or 6 games. So we kind of had an idea of the few teams that we could play, and we kind of knew who we wanted to play.
Right.
So fast forward, we watch all the tournaments. We get to Selection Sunday. You know, never forget it. We had pizza, or actually we had pizza wings, a whole bunch of stuff for the guys. And we had a big selection show party in Trask Coliseum, which if you've ever been to Trask, so it's a beautiful arena, a lot of history. And it, one side of it was completely packed. Yeah. So we were all sitting, you know, kind of near the floor. They had it on the big screen, and it was very crazy because, you know, we ended up playing Duke.
But
we had a feeling that that's who we were going to play.
Because
we had been talking about it. We knew kind of where their placement was in the ACC and what seed line that they could possibly fall on.
Okay.
And, you know, watching them a bunch, we felt like we could compete with them. which we can obviously talk about a little bit later into the journey. So as soon as that comes, as soon as that happens, you know, we're celebrating. Everybody's hugging each other. You know, tears are shedding because, you know, all that you go through throughout the course of the year to be able to get there, you know, come together as a team and earn the right to get in by winning your champion, your conference championship tournament was pretty cool. Soon as that was over, okay, everybody else, you know, kind of go their separate ways. We meet as a staff. Coach gives out the scouting report assignments for that team. Obviously,
Coach Easley, let me ask you one question because I know your acumen, your credentials. I mean, you're an elite head coach now, 21 win season. But just kind of give me just some of the personnel on the staff. Who was on that staff? Talking to people that may not know that. Who was on your staff from top to bottom at UNC Wilmington?
And we had a really, really good staff. Obviously, Coach Kevin Keats was the head coach.
Okay.
You know, congratulations to him for winning five games in 5 days.
Miraculous.
Earning his crazy way to the championship. Crazy week, crazy, just absolutely crazy journey. We had Takeo Siddle, who is now head coach at UNC Wilmington.
Doing great.
He's done a terrific job.
Mm-hmm.
You had Thomas Carr, who now is at Charleston.
Wow, very successful.
You know, so he's been able to taste it. You know, from both ends, you know, being at Charleston and being there, he's a terrific coach. And then Casey Stanley, who's you know, been with, you know, Patino. He's been with Richard Patino. And he just actually won a state championship in Utah with his team this year.
Okay.
Your coach in high school. So he's done an excellent job, too. So it was a really, really, really good staff. We had a lot of fun together, you know, had a good time. You know, even for me, I was the elder statesman on the staff. Those guys were really young. But, you know, we really worked together really well. So that's kind of how the staff dynamic was. So in that meeting, coach gives out the assignments. You know, everybody pretty much goes home, you know, starts watching film and preparing. And me, I have to figure out where we're going. So how we're going to get there, et cetera. So we ended up playing in Rhode Island in Providence. So that was kind of that was a cool experience as well. So obviously we were going to fly there. No big deal. You know, we worked with a travel agency. I had to put together a manifest of our flights and actually met with my AD who was super hands-on, super hands-on in the process. I think I was at the school until maybe 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. He was up until at least midnight. so he was working with me just to make sure I got it right. We, you know, had to make sure the boosters that were, you know, taking, we went on a private plane, which is the first time we did that.
Okay. Yeah. Explain it. Yeah.
So the boosters were on the manifest for that. We had to talk about which, you know, ordeal, which, you know, where our family's going to be able to travel and how that was going to work. And, you know, if that was going to be, that was another story for another day, how that was going to be paid for. But we were able to, you know, get that accommodated. So I had to type a manifest up and then type an itinerary together. And obviously, as you know, the tournament starts on Thursday, if I'm not correct. So it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We had the very first game.
Okay.
So that was a very quick turnaround after Sunday.
Right. Yeah.
Because a lot of places don't even open on Sunday. I was able to send some emails to the travel agency, but everything really had to be taken care of on Monday. So we're in practices. I don't even get to see the practices, the walkthrough. I got to see none of the preparation because, you know, I'm not the most super organized person. So I wanted to make sure that I did a really good job and make sure that we got where we needed to go. So we get the private plane, you know, we leave a day before, or maybe it was 2 days before. We get there. We ended up, we got there, you know, obviously had to set up meals for every single, like, time.
Wow.
So we like to eat in the hotels. A lot of people go out to eat. You know, we were a big eat in the hotel team.
Right.
So I had to set up, you know, meals and
it was
funny because like we were super at that point, we were super budget conscious. And Coach Keats was like, no, get the best.
Right. So all that goes out the window.
Right. So I had an unbelievable spread, you know, for like it was way too much, but I had a big spread. I could tell like the AD kind of was looking around. We ain't even eating all this food, but I'm told. So we do that. And then, you know, the really cool thing is getting a chance to go and practice. That's right. Kind of surreal because every team that like Duke was before us. So we walked in and we got a chance to see them, but not see them, but they were walking out as we're walking out.
Right.
So that was really cool. You know, we're on the court and you look around and you see the floor painted. It's just a feel that's really unexplainable. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yes.
So we do that and then we go to the locker room. They have a sign for us. They have signs for every coach, every player.
That's awesome.
Take souvenirs. So they all have their own special lockers. The press would go in and obviously they would talk to them and
wow.
Interviews and things of that nature. With those guys, which I thought was really cool too, because being from a small school, you don't have an opportunity to have media come into your locker room.
Right.
And so, mm-hmm. And so they felt it's kind of like, you know, you see on ESPN the pros and they're getting interviewed and stuff.
Yes.
Like
that. So that proximity.
It was really cool. So, you know, had to make sure we had food on the bus. That was a must. Coordinating the times to get there because once we arrived, we had charters to pick us up.
Okay.
So we had charters to take us back and forth. You know, you fast forward a little bit, you go to the game. And, you know, for me at that particular point, one of my sons loves Duke
mm-hmm.
and his favorite player was Grayson Allen.
On the other team.
And Brandon Ingram. He loved them. Yes.
No, right. Other team. So, they're enemies.
Yeah. So, you know, being able to give my kids that opportunity to see the kids, people that they like.
Wow. Right
on private jet. I'm like, we're warming up and I'm looking over to the stands and I'm seeing my kids just sitting there just looking in awe. And I was just like,
wow.
You're like, you're here. And then, you know, you get to the anthem.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, like this is happening. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We deserve mm-hmm. to be here. So, you know, we get to the game and this is the part that I think I'll never forget. And even to this day, it gives me chills. You know, you know the theme song, mm-hmm. right? When they mm-hmm. go to commercial break, probably the best theme song, college theme song out there.
Yeah,
right.
Dun, 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 yeah. Dun. So we go up on Duke, first media timeout. We're up, and you know that song is about to play.
Yeah,
right.
Play it in the gym, but you know when they cut to the commercials that they're going to be showing you, right? They're going to be
right.
The team clapping. So I had to make sure, you know, I had my vest on, had my face hat, had my fist pump, you know what I mean? Because I knew, we were going to be on TV.
Yeah,
beating you.
Yeah, I was watching.
And we knew that song was going to come on. You know, I knew that. So that was, a moment, too, that, you know, I knew, this is for real. So
no question. Once in a lifetime.
Yeah, we play in the game, and we're up at halftime and we're beating them the whole first half. I think we're up maybe 6 or 7 at halftime.
Mm-hmm.
Second half, we come back. They start getting the Coach K calls. I'm just going to be completely honest. Everybody knows the elephant. They're not going to let that happen. You better beat them by 10. So we ended up, I think, losing by 6 or something like
close
that.
Game. Yeah,
it was very, game. Very close game. Grayson shot a bunch of free throws. He didn't trip anybody, but he did shoot some free throws. He did shoot some free throws, some key free throws. I think he probably had 15 or 16 free throws.
Wow.
You touched him, he was going to the lock. I mean, it's pretty comical because if you go back and watch the game,
you'll see it.
You see it's really, really bad. It's
you're not gonna
win this one.
right.
So that was pretty funny in its own right. So, you know, obviously we end the game, pretty much it's over. And I want to even go back a step further, just a step. When I was making the flight arrangements,
mm-hmm.
I did, you know, usually you fly, you go the next day or things of that nature. Well,
right.
Lady said, well, we probably need to get you. You guys have the 12 o'clock game, so we'll just schedule you guys out. Around 7 o'clock, and I'm like, "Wait a minute, we're gonna win the game!" She's like, "Oh, sweetie, I know, but we're just gonna do that just in case." So I'm like, okay, whatever. So they don't play around when you lose, because it's on, a lot of it's on NCAA's dime. They will get you out that night.
Wow.
So they have charter planes that kind of go, you know, they have a bunch of different ones, but they're flying around different places and they coordinate. But if you lose, you're done.
They pre-assigned you guys to leave that evening.
Oh, it was done. As soon as the game was over, it was immediate. Okay, go back to Dobo mode, you know, no coach mode, Dobo mode. And now, okay, what time are we leaving? We got to check out the hotel. You know, I had to let alarm, like, boosters, because I wasn't just in charge of the players' time.
Right.
I was in charge of the boosters' time.
Wow.
And, you know, a lot of times, and I understand it now, like, you know, the head coach doesn't know what time. Like, that's what you're supposed to do. They're asking you what time we leave, what time we going. So that's a lot of added stress. So we were able to do that. Everybody got together. We had one last meal. We got back on the plane, and you know, it was super quick. I mean, it was at a blink of an eye, all that stuff that happened in a span of about 3 days. But it was one of the most rewarding experiences that I've ever had as a coach. It was gratifying, and you know, we had a super team that year.
Yes,
they were able, fortunate. I moved on to Chattanooga the next year. They were able to get there again. Wilmington was able to get there again the following year. So that was pretty cool.
It springboarded, sounded like, some careers. You know, you moved up to a different position on the staff, and now you're a successful head coach doing a great job of life. Kevin is at Ohio State, so it happened. But I wanted to ask you, because you've been a recruiter, you've been a coordinator, so just your role was defined. But tell me about just the other assistants once that – I guess that night concluded and the opponent was ready. What was their schedule like as far as the scouting part and your other assistant coaches, colleagues? What were they doing as you were preparing for the flights? What was their mindset kind of getting that for me?
Yeah, so coach gave the scout to one of the assistants, and then there were two more games. There was Yale and Baylor.
Okay.
And obviously everybody knew Baylor was going to win the game, but Yale actually won the game.
Oh.
So we would have been playing Yale, which, again, that's another story for another day. But that's kind of how that was a little bit. Whoever was prepared, like if we won that game that night, we would have went and watched film immediately. And so, you know, we would have met as a staff, watched film, and then talked about strategies to beat Yale.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow. So you have that experience of going to the NCAA tournament, and now we fast forward to you're the head coach of Life University, which is NAIA right outside of Atlanta, and you make that national tournament. So you make the NAIA national tournament. So talk us through that selection Sunday.
Yeah.
And the process of just being at the NIA level, so coaches can understand and people watching this can understand the different levels and the different things that go on from the NCAA to the NAIA.
And similarities.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, the NAIA tournament is the oldest tournament out there. Just to give you a little bit of background, you know, split into two divisions, and it was a round of 32, and then it was – another division, which is Division Two, and the Division One, you pretty much go, everybody stays in the hotel, and you're playing every single day to get away, like every day. So it's just a grind. It's no break. You have a break now. It's a little bit easier. So then they merged, I think it was 3 years ago, maybe four, to 64 teams, having the same model as the NCAA tournament. Yeah. Without playing games, so that's pretty unique. So a little bit different scenario for us. We had to sweat it out, as opposed to, you know, you're going, you know you're gonna have a selection show, you know you're gonna get called. Wow. We didn't know if our name was gonna get called last year. You know, we left it to chance. We have really good RPI numbers, and strength of schedule was really good. So, you know, everybody was predicting us to get in. So, you know, we had a selection show, had no idea what was going to happen.
Wow.
And it was a super surreal moment, probably one of the most enduring moments that I've had, you know, hearing your name called. The guys were super elated. You know, we celebrated. You know, I had tears. Guys had tears. We're hugging each other because, you know, we had been through a couple of rough seasons dealing with COVID. You know, some games with 7-8 players, and it just was really tough. So it, it, you know, our program took a hit those 2 years during COVID. So, you know, we were able to get over the hump the following year, not be affected much by COVID. You know, obviously COVID is not going anywhere, but wasn't affected much by COVID at all that year. So we get in, everybody's excited. You know, we have about, now we have about 4 or 5 days, and the NAIA has a rule. They pay for your travel as well, like the NCAA.
Okay.
But the difference is 700 miles, I believe, 780 miles. It's if it's past that, it's a flight. If it's less than that, then you drive it, right?
Right.
So I go to my AD, you know, and my AD is great. And we talked about how we were going to travel. And she's like, no, you know, this is tournament. We're going to get a charter bus and, you know, we're going to do it right. So we're able to get a charter bus, and we went to Florida. So we finally went to Florida. And,
nice place.
You know, and one of the things that's unique about our tournament, NAIA, is there's the first and second rounds. They're all hosted at the same place, right? Okay. And it's basically you bid on the site. And if you bid, they choose it basically on like where, you know, where your RPI is. And you don't always necessarily will be a top seed to host. You could be, like, for instance, there's a school in Florida that was a 3 seed, and they hosted it this year. And so, you know, that was pretty cool. So, you know, we ended up playing a team in Florida. You know, it's always solid weather in Atlanta. You never know what you're going to get, you know, springtime or fall, or, you know, spring and winter mixed together. You never know. And then you go to Florida and you get off the bus and you have to shed your travel gear because of the storm.
Right.
So it really felt like you were getting ready to go to a tournament, you know. It was our first experience. And, you know, give it to Florida College and Southeastern University. You know, they co-hosted it. They did it right. You know, they had stuff for us when we came in. You know, they had stuff on the floor. They had banners. And so they had the trophy sitting out when you went in. So you really felt that buzz a little.
First class. Yes.
You know, so obviously if you win I think you play Friday, Saturday, you went on Friday, then the two teams that won play on Saturday to get a chance to go back to Municipal Auditorium in Kansas City. That's the goal. To get to Kansas City, where it's really the, you know, you don't want to say the Sweet 16, but, you know, the 16, the Super 16 or whatever you call it. And that's really special. We haven't had a chance to get there. You know, we're approaching that very soon in our program, but it's really cool to be able to get up there from, you know, everything that I've been told. Obviously, our program has won 3 national championships and 2 national runner-ups, so we have a lot of history at the Municipal Auditorium. But, you know, now, you know, since it's gone to 64 teams and they cut it to 16, our program hasn't gotten there. So that's next. You know, they're down to the Super 16 right now, you know, which is pretty cool. And, you know, we'll be following some guys, you know, in that as well.
Yeah. I'll tell you I've seen this year a little bit. You know, obviously you were on with us earlier. He had an outstanding season. You talk about 21 games, and we've all Coach Bowers and myself. That's an elite group. Just the wins you've had and the players has been tremendous. So you're just competing in just 1 year off of a national tournament. That's elite category. So I'm excited about you moving forward. But I can't see you clearly. Yes, your shirt is kind of – can you back up a little bit? Can I see? Oh, it's the life on. I love that drip. As the young people say, and I have my Alabama on because of Coach Tennille Adams, who's in the Division I women's tournament. So I'm looking forward to wearing some Life University gear real soon. I wear a large and Coach wears an XL. I'm looking forward to moving forward. But let me ask you this, Coach, you've been at all levels, just all these coaches, you see the seating and the selection shows. Just if you give me a couple things that you think is important for preparation and tournament play compared to regular season. Like, just kind of give me the difference being the head coach and being at Wilmington as what is different in preparation for the national tournament this time of year compared to regular season? What needs to be done different, you think?
I think you need to prepare, and I think you need to build a team for that, for the tournament. You know, it's good to have as much depth as you can and use your depth because, you know, it's unique in the NCAA tournament where, you know, you get time off, but, you know, you get a day's rest. But having depth, because you don't know, you know, if you're going to get in foul trouble, there's a lot of uncertainty. You know, you may have a player who's not, you know, hot or not playing well. So you don't want to, you know, to be in a situation where, you know, you have two guys on the bench in foul trouble.
Okay.
You're not ready. You know, you also too want to be able to be versatile in your schemes.
Versatile.
You know, you go in with a plan. Obviously, you get punched in the mouth, so you might need to change your pick and roll coverage.
Okay.
You know, you may need to be able to go to a zone and have a curveball to throw the team that gets hot. Every chance you get, I mean, you guys watch it all the time. You know there's going to be some team that's going to play uncharacteristic.
Yep.
So you have to be prepared for that. You know, you look at a team like NC State. Nobody wants to play them right now.
Right.
Like, they just won five games. They're on top of the world. Mm-hmm. And so I think they're playing Texas A&M. I would tell you right now, they're going to be super focused, Texas A&M, because Texas Tech, I'm sorry. Yeah. Texas Tech is going to be super, super focused on that game because, you know, they're getting ready to play somebody hot. You know, we ran into a team coming into our tournament where we were the two hottest teams coming in. They had a losing record. We had beaten them twice. They beat us by 3 points. They're going on to win four games in 4 days and win the tournament. And then they're in the tournament.
Right.
I understand how that goes. And, you know, being able, again, to have to be able to be versatile in your style of play. You know, you don't want to rely on threes all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to be able to play in a half court game or be able to play in an up-tempo game because it's going to be a lot of tug of war back and forth about, you know, who's going to be able to control the tempo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're a fast team, obviously teams are going to tempo press you. And, you know, if they want to speed you up, they may diamond press you or they may trap pick and roll. So you got to be really prepared for everything. And hopefully throughout the season, you've played enough teams that give you different looks that you can always pull back from to say, you know, we saw this. This is how we're going to attack this. This is what we're looking for and things like that.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a glimpse into another bracket because this is March Madness.
Yeah.
And we're going to go back a couple years, Coach Easley, and we're going to go into the bracket of the best dressed assistant coaches. And years and years ago, I can't remember what year this was and if it was multiple years, but
I can tell you the exact year, 2010.
Okay, so 2010, Coach Kevin Easley made the bracket of the best dressed assistant coaches in the NCAA.
The NCAA.
I don't know if you got an at-large bid or your automatic qualifier.
At-large.
You're at-large? Okay.
Number one seed.
How far did you make it in that bracket? And you know, what goes into, you know, getting into the best dressed assistant coaches bracket?
You know, it's great. I made it to, you know, I love to talk about this, and that's funny that you bring it up. that's a good one. I gotta get you. But I made it to the fashionable four, as they call it.
Oh, the fashionable four. Okay.
Fashionable four. So I made it to the round of four. I can't remember who I lost to, but I was a big, big, you know, Jay Wright is always clean on the sideline. So
yeah, the cleanest.
You know, I would go, you know, with the pocket square sometimes, you know, whatever was in style at that time. I think the baggy suits were kind of in at the time too. So I had a unique look, you know, the colored shirts and the coordination, and you know, I have to obviously thank my wife a little bit because she picked out some of that stuff.
Oh, so that's dope.
Take all the credit for it, but I did take pride. I took pride. I was like, you know, fake it before you make it.
Uh-huh.
As good as you can. So that, you know, I'm not really sure how I got selected. I just know that somebody called me and said, hey, do you realize you're in this field of best dressed? And I was like, well, yeah, I mean, I should be, but
yeah,
let me see what you're talking about, because I don't know. You know, luckily now they don't have that stuff. We get to wear our polos and,
yeah,
and who's got the best, you know, jogging gear, and you know, who's got the best sweatsuit. I hope it doesn't go back to suits. I'm starting to see a trend where people are wearing suits a little bit more. But I really enjoy, you know, being able to coordinate with my staff, and we have, you know, tons of different things that we wear, and very superstitious about. Did we wear this against them the last time? Did we lose? Okay. Did we lose when we wore this? We're not wearing this game.
Yeah, you head coaches are like
burn that outfit. It's over.
Hey, well, that's how I was trying to lead into, you know, I don't mind my large, man. You can send me a hoodie or whatever you want. XL, we're going to wear it. Now, do you remember what job you were at when you had this hot streak fast before?
It was at High Point.
At High Point? Gotcha. Okay. Gotcha. High Point. So it wasn't that Florida time when you're waiting for the call. I got you. That's dope.
It was not that time. That was that's a different podcast. Different episode. A different episode. Come on.
Man, that's awesome, Coach.
Man, so that I remember that time, and I was like, man, I got to bring that up and find out more about.
That was pretty good, Coach. I'm not going to lie to you. That was pretty good.
Life on the road. Do the research.
That was hidden pretty good. I have to admit. So
Coach gets it done.
And I was going to ask the last podcast and got sidetracked on your amazing story.
Your
stories. I knew this was actually the perfect time to talk about that bracket, since we are talking about
great segue. Yeah.
Bracketology. Talk about March Madness.
Absolutely. Yeah. You were not on the bubble either. You were top.
I was not on the bubble. I think I was a 15 seed though.
Overall.
And I think now that I think about it, I think you had to, once you got in, you know, it was like voting.
Okay.
So, you know, obviously
there was voting. I remember that.
You would put it out, and then, you know, obviously you would have a picture of your outfit, and you know, people would vote you in, and, you know, but kind of probably became a popularity contest. And, you know, then me probably begging people to say, hey, man, go because, you know, each round it got really cool. You know, Twitter followers went up a little bit during that time. So
you get your blue check off of that?
Bad time. I can't say that it was a bad time at all.
Did you get your blue check off of being in the tournament?
I did not get a blue check. I did not. I don't even know if those were around at the time.
So nice. Had name it twice.
Coach, we greatly appreciate you just giving a little insight into this time of year and what goes through the head coach's mind, the assistant coaches, the Dobos, everybody involved. And it's great insight for people just to – who think that they understand what coaching is all about.
Yeah.
And, you know, you turn on a game at 12 o'clock and you see everybody on the sideline and you see the coaching that's going on there, but you have no idea what takes place from Sunday night to Thursday at 12.
Yeah.
And the stress that you go through. So
again,
we greatly appreciate it. Coach Key, you got any final words?
Again, appreciate your time. It is phenomenal. Each place you've been around success, and that says a lot about you from the middle leading, from the Dobo, and from the top. So there's been a common denominator about you being successful right at level. So that's something that needs to be expressed. But I appreciate you taking the time and just sharing, because we don't know what goes through that NCAA tournament. You know, we see it on TV. We can't wait. We got the brackets at the water coolers, man. But just for you to give us the background, we really appreciate that. And also the other nugget on top of that, man, the Festival Four, that is epic, man. But we appreciate your coach here. Top of the food chain, as we say. And again, you've been so good. I'm going to ask you one more time to come on again moving forward this summer.
Guys, I'd love to. I love doing these things. I've done a few of these. I probably had the most fun with you guys. And anytime you guys want to have me on, if I can, put my 6-year-old to bed and all of that stuff, I do all my honey-do list. Anytime you guys need me.
I'm still laughing from your last story, man. It's still funny. Waiting for that call in Florida.
Look, I'm still waiting for that call. The call that never came.
Great topic for next show.
Yep. Yeah. As soon as we find a good topic for where we need your expertise, you're right back on.
Look, I'll be back on whatever you guys need. Love to be a special guest, man. You guys got a great thing going.
Thank you so much.
We appreciate it. And Coach, we'll see you on the road somewhere.
All right. Sounds good.
Another outstanding episode of Life on the Road. Today, we brought back the head coach of Life University, Kevin Easley. Man, he was so nice. We had to bring him back a second time.
No doubt.
So, Coach Key, any final words on Coach Easley?
Well, nice to have his impact this time of year, or influence. A lot of times we talk about predictions and brackets, but he gave us behind the scenes what's going through your mind as an assistant coach, preparing for the travel, preparing for the opponent, the scouting responsibility, the anxiety, the family included. So we're so fortunate to have on Life on the Road podcast that perspective that you can't get anywhere else.
Absolutely. So before we get out of here, we want to give a special congratulations to our previous guests who had some postseason honors. We're going to start with Coach Jerry Eves, who is the athletic director at Simmons College in Louisville, Kentucky. His women's basketball team won a national championship. Wow. Coach Rob Burke got Coach of the Year in the Carolinas Conference. Coach Terrell Robinson at North Carolina A&T. They're heading to the women's NIT. Coach Drew Richards at UNC Pembroke won the conference championship at UNC Pembroke, and they made it to the first round of the Division II national championship. Tennille Adams are heading to the women's NCAA tournament. Coach Jason Williams at USC Upstate, they're heading to the women's NIT. Coach Jason James at Milan High School in Tennessee made it to the Sweet 16. Tim Kane at LSU, they're heading to the men's NIT. Coach Doug Eslick at Forsyth Country Day won the state championship for North Carolina private schools. And last but not least, Larry Dixon, part of the North Carolina State coaching staff, won 5 straight games and made it to the NCAA tournament. So congratulations to all of the coaches that we've had on here that have some postseason success. And Coach Key, let's take it on out.
Well, until next time, I'm Alfonso Key.
And I'm Scott Bolwich.
Keep it in the road.
And keep it between the lines. We want to thank you for your continued support of the Life on the Road podcast. Please comment on each episode and give us that 5-star rating wherever you get your podcast. And make sure you hit the follow button so you don't miss an episode. You can also watch all the episodes on our YouTube page and follow us on social media at Coach AKSB. Thanks again to all of our guests and listeners. This wouldn't be possible without you.